Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown, 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 Georgia.
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter, Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49+. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow.
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC Championship winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands. And guess which dogs are barking first?
Now, with the latest from around the world of the SEC and college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Happy Halloween, if you're listening on a Thursday. It is Halloween. Look, I've got three girls. It's like the Super Bowl in my house now, man. So many Halloween activities. We carved the pumpkins last night. We're trick-or-treating tonight. This has been like a months-long lead-up, so congrats to all the parents out there who got to get to do the parenting activities tonight, maybe imbibe in a couple of cocktails while you're walking around trick-or-treating, and then we're on to Thanksgiving. How are you, Jake Fromm?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Just, man, getting ready to play the Packers this week.
Yeah,
man, it's Georgia-Florida week. It's, you know, man, it's just a big week, man. And college football has got some crazy, crazy games going on this weekend. Could not be more pumped about it. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yes, it is going to be a great weekend. So much good action on the gridiron. If you want to have even more fun while watching your weekend football, be sure to do one thing. That is download the Prize Picks app. This episode of Punt and Pass and every Thursday episode of Punt and Pass all season long, presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks, the best daily fantasy sports platform in North America. Again, download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT when you play your first $5 entry. Win or lose, you instantly get $50. Use the promo code PUNT when you download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com and punch in that promo code. Again, it's PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT. Your first $5 entry, win or lose, an instant $50 into your account. That's what the great folks over at Prize Picks are doing for all Punt and Pass listeners. Why is Prize Picks the best? Because it's the easiest. All you do is pick more or less than 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can get up to 100x your entry. It's the best. Cross-sport entries, NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, college, everything, golf, esports. It is the best. PrizePicks.com. Download the PrizePicks app. Use the promo code PUNT. Your week 10 punt and pass PrizePicks play coming up in just a little bit. You have to hear how I lost my slip last weekend. Devastating, to say the least. But like I said, we're on to week 10, man. We are on to week 10. You mentioned, Jake, it's Georgia Florida week. Everybody making the migration down to the beaches of Georgia and North Florida. Of course, the game held in Jacksonville. Fall break for Georgia, fall break for Florida. The weather seems perfect here. I'm sure St. Simons will be hopping, Amelia Island, Sea Island, Ponte Vedra. It's fun. There's no doubt about it. And Jacksonville, Jake, has its own little niche, I guess, in the hearts and minds of Georgia and Florida fans. And that is about to change. It brings us to first down. This is three and out. News breaking on Wednesday that the Georgia-Florida rivalry will be moving in the years 2026 and 2027. Jake, the game will be in Atlanta in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in 2026, and then in Tampa in Raymond James Stadium in 2027. That is due to a two-year break from Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville because it is undergoing renovations. The game then returns to Jacksonville in 2028. There has been so much speculation about where this game was going to go, Jake, during that two-year hiatus. I think there was a lot of clamoring for a home and home. Hasn't happened since the mid-90s. Head coach Kirby Smart was on that Georgia team that got smacked around by Steve Spurrier and the Florida Gators inside Sanford Stadium. And of course they didn't do that. Of course they didn't do that. They had to go neutral site. So the Dogs will be playing a regular season game in 2026 in Mercedes-Benz and then down in Tampa. What are your initial thoughts on this announcement there, Jake?
Yeah, you know, and I know exactly why it's not a home and home, and I'll go and tell you why, because it would just make way too much sense, right? I think
that's correct.
I don't know. That's just kind of the way I feel about it. Obviously, there could be people that have differing opinions, but look, we play enough in Atlanta anyway.
I know.
I have no desire to go and play and watch or see a game in Tampa. I don't know. I just not a fan. Now, the uniqueness about Jacksonville, it's gotten grandfathered in a little bit. And to me, it gives a unique opportunity for the heart of Georgia fans there in that South Georgia area.
Yeah,
man, to really kind of feel and travel and maybe get a different tailgating experience that they wouldn't get otherwise. However, dude, I think the home and home here would have just been a layup. To me, why I know exactly why Kirby doesn't like it, because he loses an opportunity for recruiting weekend.
That's right.
That is huge, man. You know, anything about college football, it is all about recruiting, recruiting, recruiting. He loses an opportunity, man, to host guys, have them on site, on campus.
On campus,
And get to see the way they do things. So, I don't know. I'm just curious to see who made this deal work. And it must have made so much sense on paper, money-wise.
Just couldn't do it, yeah.
Where you just couldn't do it, you know. So that's just my take on it.
You're so right. I do believe on campus is the key, right? Like when you get guys on campus, it makes all the world of a difference. You show them around your facilities. You get to show them your locker room, your stadium, your game day experience, meet with everybody, take care of the parents. I believe Georgia would be able to recruit when the game is in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's just totally different. I mean, it's not even the same stratosphere when you're talking about really trying to get guys across the line and understand why they would want to go to a Georgia or why they would want to go to a Florida. I've never even been to the University of Florida. I've only driven through Gainesville. I've never seen the swamp. I've never been on campus. I would have loved to have gone to a Georgia-Florida game in the swamp. I think that would have been so sick. Have you ever been there when you got recruited? Did you go down there?
Yeah. Went down there for a camp. Yeah. Did the whole deal, man. Got to throw a little bit in the stadium. I mean, look, dude, it's a cool stadium. I could see a night game down there.
Ooh.
It could get rocking. That stadium to me is a lot like LSU. Just goes straight up, very vertical. So I could totally see how that would be a crazy environment to play in, man. And it's hot. It's muggy. It's the swamp down there.
Yeah, man. You bring up a great point though about Middle and South Georgia, of course, where you're from down there in the Warner Robins, Houston County area. What is the split like? I mean, look, I'm from Atlanta. I mean, my three brothers-in-law, all Georgia Tech grads, like I can't stand Georgia Tech. That is always tried and true, the number one rivalry for me as a Georgia alum. When you start migrating down south of the city of Atlanta, I mean, it is Georgia, Florida. Then you go down even further south, Valdosta, Tifton, Blackshear, where Stetson's from, Bainbridge, where Kirby's from, the coast. That is Georgia, Florida country. Oh, yeah. And you're right. Like, the game's been in Jacksonville since the 30s, I believe. I heard that today. It's there for a reason. It's because it is that kind of cultural migration down to the beaches, down to Jacksonville, that Halloween, early November weekend. That, of course, is going to stay. What's it like growing up down in South Middle Georgia when it comes to the Georgia-Florida rivalry?
Oh, I mean, to me, it was always talking about that game because it just seemed like if you weren't a Georgia fan growing up in my town, you were a Florida Gator. Wow. And so there was always this back and forth, the banter. Now, they had our number there for a good while. I think they had a stretch of 15 out of 17 there. And so for me, when I went to Georgia, I wanted to put that to rest, put that to bed and say, hey, man, this ain't happening on my watch. So I always loved this game, always circled it, and always, man, wanted to go out and play my best. So it's a dang good one.
Yeah, it is a dang good one. You know, when I was in school, the Florida teams were just simply elite. Tim Tebow, Cam Newton, of course, was a tight end there until he got kicked out of school. Chris Rainey, who was my teammate in the NFL. The Pouncey Twins, who were absolute studs. Aaron Hernandez, he was there also. Brandon James, I don't know if you remember Brandon James, such an elite punt returner. Percy Harvin.
Yeah, I was about to say.
And Spikes. Major Wright. I mean, these dudes.
When Percy Harvin and Takeo Spikes were like, not, you know, name eight Brandon or nine Spike on that list.
Brandon Spikes.
When they're like number eight or nine on that list you just mentioned, that's a dang good football team. That's crazy. So,
you know, like punt team, I was punting to Brandon James, who's an elite punt returner. And then their two punt block guys, like off the edge with their hands in the ground, were Chris Rainey and Jeff Demps. Both of them were like, well, Jeff Demps was an Olympic sprinter. Chris Rainey ran like a 4.31 at the combine. I mean, those are the athletes that you were playing against when you went up against Florida. Really just insane games. You know, we were lucky. 2007 game, I redshirted, but that's, of course, when No'Shawn stretched the ball across. Everybody rushed the field. We lost in 2010 in overtime. That was a crazy game. And then my senior year, 2011, we got off the schneid and we were en route to an SEC East championship. We went back to the SEC championship game. So, look, it's phenomenal. The atmosphere there, we'll talk about it in just a bit when we go inside the five. Of course, we'll break the game down. But the 50-50 split, the Georgia-Florida Hall of Fame game, all the charitable and events that are down there, it's really special. So, look, Atlanta, I wonder what's going to happen. Like, that will certainly be interesting, smack dab middle of the season, just meandering downtown to play Florida. And then, of course, Tampa, 27th. Then they're back to Jacksonville in 28. At least the new stadium looks cool. So
yeah,
that's that.
That would be cool.
Let's go to second down. Lane Kiffin back in the news. Head coach of Ole Miss. During his weekly press conference this past Monday, the SEC announced the game time for the Georgia-Ole Miss game next weekend. And that game time is a 3:30 p.m. Eastern kick on ABC. That's 2:30 p.m. Eastern in Mississippi. And a reporter asked Lane Kiffin, hey, coach, game time was just announced. What are your thoughts on having it be at 3:30? And this is what Lane Kiffin had to say.
Lane, they just announced the November 9th kickoffs, 2:30 for y'all against Georgia. So you got two morning, two afternoon kicks left. From your perspective or coaching perspective, is there any advantage at all to playing day to tonight kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's proven over time in NFL and college, you know. Playing at night in electric atmospheres is a home field advantage, and tough when you got to do that as a opposing team. So that's been proven for a long time. And so who went at night? LSU gets to play at night again, I guess. Shocker. So that's two for two for them. it is an advantage. I feel bad for our fans, you know, to not have one night conference game is really unfortunate for them. And so whatever, it's just really disappointing, but it is what it is.
I just love it. Shocker. Whatever. It is what it is. Look, I got a couple of thoughts on this. And the first is I feel like I'm in an actually really good position to talk about this because having been a Georgia fan, quote unquote fan, you know, that's been a big issue with Georgia fans in years past. No home night SEC games. And it does upset the apple cart because, excuse me, you want to definitely provide those types of different opportunities for your fan base to experience a game weekend. the home night games are certainly different, especially against a premier opponent like Georgia is to Ole Miss, or that game really has been looked at since the offseason, having a lot of implications for the SEC championship game. However, I think Georgia kind of dodged a bullet here, Jake.
I think so too.
About how many night games they've played this year. At Kentucky, that was a night game. At Alabama, that was a night game. At Texas, that was a night game. I thought for sure that this was not going to be a night game. I mean, look, asking Georgia to play four away road night games in the SEC, that's bordering on unfair. When you're talking about scheduling, when you're talking about having to get back into Athens, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I mean, that is a brutal road trip. Keep in mind, they still have Tennessee game at home. Could that be a night game? And then they're playing Georgia Tech the Friday night after Thanksgiving. So Georgia's schedule has been saturated by night games so far this season. And I think, unfortunately for Ole Miss, like that night game against Kentucky early in the season probably stole this one out of the night spotlight in Oxford. Unfortunate for Ole Miss fans, no doubt. Probably would have been a really cool environment. You could have gone to the Grove all day long and done that whole thing. But Lane Kiffin, making no mistake about it, he's a little bum, not only for his team, but for his fans. They will not have a home conference night game in 2024.
Yeah, I'm going to start with Kiffin hit exactly what you needed to hit. One, he hit the competitive advantage, and then he hit, like you said, the opportunity for the fan base to have that experience. So, I think it's cool. I think it's neat. Always that switch up. Just like you said, Drew, Georgia fans have mentioned this in the past, man, not really having those big night games. The only one that really comes to mind, forgive me here, off the top of my head, is the 2019 Notre Dame game at home. I mean, that was the big night game from my career that I remember, but just didn't really have that opportunity for more of them. And I think they're really cool. Kind of get you back to Friday Night Lights, all that good stuff. And I want to transition a little bit from talking about the competitive advantage to talking about the fans. Just like you were talking about, Drew, of talking about the student athletes. That's right. They are still considered student athletes, man. We are just totally taking for granted that these guys have to go pass classes, make good grades, and do all the things they have to do throughout the week. These are they're not professionals yet. Their sole purpose is not what they do on the football field, maybe yet. They have business to take care of, they have other things to take care of. And just like you said, Drew, I think you're spot on with this. That takes a toll on you playing all those road night games throughout the season. Man, it takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on you mentally. Let me tell you, it is brutal for the coaches as well. Everybody forgets that. So, I think this has less to do with Ole Miss and more about putting Georgia in that situation of having all these road night games and putting them at 7:30. So I still think people will tune in to watch. But, man, at some point, maybe enough's enough. I don't know.
Who do you think was the happiest person when it was announced that it was a 3:30 kick?
Probably Kirby and Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Kirby Smart. There is no doubt about it. Because now they get to come home, probably get back home around, 10, 11 p.m. And then you wake up on Sunday, somewhat refreshed, I guess. And then it's on to Tennessee the next week. So undoubtedly, Kirby Smart, very happy to hear that that game against Ole Miss is going to be an afternoon game over there at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. So it's going to be a big game, no doubt about it. Ole Miss is playing at Arkansas this week. That's inside the 5-2, an interesting spread on that game. I think everybody kind of needs to run their antennas up. Could be a little trap game for Ole Miss before Georgia comes to town next week. Okay, let's go to third down. And we need to dive into this. Last week, you and I were talking, Monday, we were talking, hey, what's your big bold prediction for the last 5 weeks of the regular season? And I said, I predict that a tiebreaker scenario might determine who plays in a conference championship game. And since then, I'll pat myself on the back. I've seen a lot of articles breaking down some crazy tie-breaking scenarios that could determine who plays in some of these Power Four conference championship games. Now, when we discussed that, Jake, we were talking about how many undefeated teams there are in the ACC, in the Big Ten, in the Big 12. And keep in mind, with these super conferences, there are no more divisions, right? So the odds of you playing against the teams that are at the top of the heap when everybody's undefeated, well, they start to dwindle. Let's start in the ACC. Spencer, you can pull this graphic up. Clemson's undefeated. SMU's undefeated. Pitt is undefeated. Miami's undefeated. I forget the author of who wrote this article, but here are the tie-breaking scenarios for the ACC championship game. Quote, steps number one and number two involve head-to-head winning percentage, which would be a moot point if Clemson, Miami, and SMU all finish 8-0 in the ACC since they don't play each other. Tiebreakers three and four involve winning percentage against common opponents. Clemson, Miami, and SMU have two common opponents this season, Florida State and Louisville. But again, that becomes a moot point if all three teams win out, which means you go to step number five of the tiebreaker scenario in the ACC. This is from Chapel Fowler of the State newspaper in South Carolina. Spencer, I don't know if you have number five up on there. I can pull it up. Here you go. He does. Thank you, Spencer. Here's how the metric currently stands for the three teams based on the combined ACC winning percentage of each team's eight conference opponents so far. Clemson's ACC opponents are a combined 16-21. That is a 43% winning percentage. ACC's Miami opponents, 16-22. That is a 42% winning percentage. And SMU, 13-24. That is a 35% winning percentage. So I'm assuming, based on the fifth tiebreaker, Clemson plays Miami in the ACC championship game, if that's how things were to stand, because they had to go to the common opponents, the combined ACC winning percentage. That is crazy to me. That would be such a bummer for SMU, just to be undefeated in a conference and be like, hey, sorry, based on the teams that you played, here is what their combined win-loss record was, and it's not good enough.
I mean, that would just there's the scenarios and how far down the list you have to go in a lot of these conferences is quite mind-boggling, because, man, it is getting more and more realistic as we speak. The longer the weeks go on, and at the end of all these, the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, it's like the last one is, hey, basically you're going to draw each team out of a hat. Like, that is crazy. Could you imagine it actually coming down to that? Now, statistically, very, very slim. Basically no way of that happening. But
fun to talk about.
It is a possibility. And be able to talk about that is crazy. I mean, I don't know. Get this conference, and then you get the Big Ten that could happen with, and the SEC. Who knows? It's just going to be crazy to see all this shake out as we keep going down to the wire.
Okay, I've got an even better scenario for you, and it has
Please
to do
enlighten me.
With the number one team in the nation, the Oregon Ducks, who are, of course, now in the Big Ten. Get this. Even if Oregon wins out, finishing the regular season 12-0 overall, probably the number one seed in the country, there is still a way the team may not earn a spot in the Big Ten championship game. Here's the catch. Oregon isn't the only undefeated team in the conference. The Penn State Nittany Lions and the Indiana Hoosiers have also maintained a flawless record through week nine, and all three are fighting for a spot in the conference championship game, and then, of course, the college football playoffs. The catch, the three teams aren't scheduled to play each other, so at the end of the regular season, all three could remain perfect. This tie-breaking scenario would go to the winning margin over a common opponent. Okay.
Winning
Here's
margin.
The common opponent. Ohio State. Oregon beat Ohio State by 1 point. Penn State plays Ohio State this weekend. If Penn State beats Ohio State by more than 1 point, they have a leg up on Oregon if they all finish undefeated. Guess what? Indiana also plays Ohio State this year. I believe. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me pull it up right here.
So
regardless, if Penn State beats Ohio State by more than 1 point and Oregon and Penn State finish undefeated, Penn State has the tiebreaker over Oregon because they beat Ohio State by more than Oregon did.
Man, that's crazy.
Me? Are you picking up what I'm putting?
No, I'm picking you. And so what I want to kind of pick apart here is the differences in the two conferences. In the Big Ten, they're saying your margin of victory over your your common opponents. Conference opponents matter. In the ACC, it's more about your common conference opponents and how they fare against the other conference opponents and that winning percentage. So two completely different ways to look at it. If you're in the Big Ten, man, and you find yourself in a conference game, and I mean, do you run up the score in certain situations? Because it may come down to that. That's something head coaches have to think about here. Man, could this come up later in the year? I don't know. I just, you don't want to be at the bad end of, hey, a team's beating me by, 20 points already late in the fourth quarter, and all they got to do is take some knees, but they're going and they're trying to get 7 points because it may matter here later in the year because of that.
Indiana has not won a game by less than 14 points all season. Think about that. They have been blowing teams out. And it's no surprise they do go to Ohio State at Ohio State on November the 23rd. So there you go.
Hey,
there is a chance. There is a chance that Ohio State could be Oregon could be undefeated, number one team in the nation, and not have a path to the Big Ten championship game. That's crazy.
I think I saw somewhere. This could be wrong. Could be hearsay. I have no idea. But Nebraska played Ohio State and Indiana back to back, and some reporter asked, "Hey, coach, which team was better?" And he's basically like, "Hey, I'm not going to answer that."
Really?
That leads me to believe, man, that this Indiana football team is for real.
All right.
So, I don't know.
Producer Spencer says tiebreaker should be the same across the NCAA. That makes sense. I mean, like, put the same parameters on the Power Four conferences, I guess. I mean, I don't know. The bigger the conferences get, the more convoluted the process gets. But I'll stick with my initial bold prediction. One of these tie-breaking scenarios will have to play out. And then, of course, look, we've expanded the playoff. We've got bigger conferences. The Pac-12's dead. Who knows, man? College football, the bastardization of college football continues. It continues, and we'll keep it locked in right here on Punt and Pass.
Speaking of the Pac-12, man, I was kind of going through looking at all the conference standings here on my nice little website here. Clicked on the Pac-12. Yours truly, Washington State, Oregon State, the only two teams in it, man.
That's it. Just crazy.
Hold on, man. That's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. All right. Let's get our punt and pass prize picks play of the week going. First off, my entry last week, Jackson Dart, more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. Dylan Raiola, more than a half a passing touchdown. Jackson Dart had a passing touchdown early. I'm watching the game. They're playing. Who'd they play last week? I'm blanking as well. They ended up winning the game. It was an SEC game. I can't think of it right now.
Oklahoma. But
they scored. Oklahoma, that's right. They scored. Passing touchdown. I'm like, sick, dude. Two touchdowns. Receiver's knee was down at the half-yard line. They reviewed it. Of course, they just run it in the next play. He ends with one passing touchdown. I was demoralized. Ugh. Before that, though, because the games run at the same time, Dylan Raiola. He threw a nice bomb. Dude, sweet catch. Nebraska guy dives in the end zone. I'm like, yes, he's on the board. I'm good to go. Up, under review. Receiver's knee down at the half-yard line. They placed the ball. They ran into the next play. It happened twice to
me. Got the call in from Vegas, man.
Saturday. It was such a killer. There's no doubt about it. All right, but this week, yes, this week.
Oh, we're hitting.
We're hitting. There's no doubt about it. It's the Week 10 Punt and Pass Prize Picks Play of the Week. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT, P-U-N-T, PUNT. And when you do that and you play your first $5 entry, win or lose, you instantly get $50. It's as simple as that. PUNT is the promo code. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. My first leg. Jeremiah Smith, the phenom freshman receiver at Ohio State. Look, Ohio State's playing Penn State. The game is in Happy Valley. We'll touch on that inside the five. This kid's an absolute stud. More than 70.5 receiving yards for Jeremiah Smith. This is a five-star game. You got to go to your big-time players. They have to have a big impact on the game. That is the first leg this Prize Picks entry. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State wide receiver, more than 70.5 receiving yards. My second, and this one's a little bit tough, but it's going to up It's going to up the winnings, okay? Cam Ward, he had a little bit of a quiet week last week, Miami's quarterback. They're taking on Duke this week. It's at noon. I think Miami lays it on Duke. 2.5 passing touchdowns. So I'm aiming for 3 passing touchdowns. That is a lot, but we're going to do it. And then my final is Dylan Gabriel, Oregon's quarterback. They look really good. They're taking on Michigan, 3:30 p.m., more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. So that's the slip. Jeremiah Smith, I'm going with big names. Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State wide receiver, more than 70.5 receiving yards. Cam Ward, Miami's quarterback, more than 2.5 passing touchdowns. Dylan Gabriel, Oregon quarterback, more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. $50 entry to win, $187.50. That's the slip. We're cashing this week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You instantly get $50 when you play your first $5 entry.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let's go inside the five, and we're going to start with that Big Ten game. Fourth-ranked Ohio State at number 3, Penn State. This game is at noon on Fox. You want to talk about what game should be a night game? It should be this one with the whiteout. Fox, of course, gets the top pick for the Big Ten game each week, so they pick the biggest top 5 Big Ten game of the year. Ohio State's a 3.5-point favorite. The total here, Jake, 45.5 points. This should be a really good game.
Man, it should be a great game. Penn State at home is always tough to play. I did some deep dive in here. Drew Aller should be good to go.
Lower body injury, they said.
Yeah, I think he practiced yesterday and today as well. But man, the backup, Bo Pribula. Hope I said that right. Don't quite know. But
yeah, he showed some stuff last week.
He came in and balled. So either way, I feel good about this Penn State football team on offense. And not only that, but it makes Ohio State, especially on defense, have to game plan for two different quarterbacks. More of a pro-style guy who's delivering from the pocket and also a guy who's going to use his legs a little bit. Could we see both of these guys play on Saturday? Absolutely. In some form or fashion, especially kind of knowing what they got. So, man, give me Penn State for that.
All right, dude. Okay. I like where you're heading at with this one. I got some stats for you as well. This has not been a friendly series to Penn State. Ohio State has won 11 of the last 12, including 7 straight. However, they're just 2-7 against the spread, so Penn State's been covering the number. 5 of the last 6 games in this matchup have gone under. Penn State's got a really good defense, too. Top 5 in the country. Will Howard, that offensive line for Ohio State, struggled a week ago against Nebraska. they just haven't really put it all together. I can never trust James Franklin in a big spot like this. You just can't. He can never win this game. He never wins this game. He can't get over the hump. They're undefeated. They got a clear path to the Big Ten championship game. Just beat Ohio State by more than 1 point. Ohio State got a scare last week. They almost lost to Nebraska. You can't trust James Franklin. Give me Penn State plus 3.5 points. I think they keep it close. 3.5's a lot. I think Ohio State might squeak by and win it, but that's just too many points. So, Jake, you and I are both on the same side. Give me Penn State. I'm really looking forward diving in to that game. Spencer, I'm going to go to the Ole Miss at Arkansas game here. 19th ranked Ole Miss at Arkansas. This game is at noon on ESPN. This line shocked me. Ole Miss is only a touchdown favorite. Ole Miss laying 7. The total here is
only
3.5. Yes. Yes.
Arkansas beat Tennessee.
I know. Tennessee had an awful game that game. Oh. And look, this game is a classic SEC West matchup. The Fighting Sam Pittmans are showing some life. That Talen Green kid, they hung, 600 plus yards last week. Bobby Petrino calling the plays. What are your thoughts here, big dog?
I mean, I think they're an overtime win. Overtime loss against Oklahoma State, and then a tight one against Texas A&M. And otherwise, we're talking about, well, I guess they did have that that devastating loss to LSU. So
yeah, LSU.
You know what? There goes my argument here. I just, in my heart of hearts, I want Arkansas just to be there, right? I want them to be there, and I want them to be fighting for it. But I think what they have here is the will to ruin a season. However, I think Ole Miss wins, but it's by less than a touchdown. I want Ole Miss to win this football game because I want next week to be a bigger deal and a bigger time football game. So
yeah.
Ole Miss to win, but I think Arkansas covers.
Yeah, I mean, look, this one has my mind in a pretzel. It really does. I mean, Arkansas smoked Mississippi State 58-25. Yeah, they got beat by LSU pretty handily. They, of course, beat Tennessee. They only lost to A&M by 4. They beat Auburn by 10. They're just inconsistent. This is a big game. I think this is a great game for Bobby Petrino to kind of flex his muscles a little bit. Oklahoma
Bobby versus Kiffin. Yeah.
Oklahoma kept it pretty respectable last week as well. I mean, they, you know, put 2 touchdowns on the board. The defense showed up and played pretty good against that Ole Miss offense. So it's a long-winded way of me saying, just give me the 7 points. Like, I like Arkansas plus 7 at home.
Yeah.
It's just that time of the season, Jake. You said it, I think, on last week's podcast. Like, when that calendar turns to November, man, the style of football changes. Guys tighten up a little bit. The body's hurting. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the 7 as well. I think Ole Miss probably does squeak by and win, though. All right, let's go to the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, Florida, Georgia. Georgia, Florida, of course. But Georgia's the home team, so Florida versus the second-ranked Georgia Bulldogs, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. The Dogs are a 16.5-point favorite. The total here, 52.5.
Yeah, I'm glad that you made that correction. This is the Georgia-Florida game. Do not get it twisted here. Let me tell you, as a freshman in college, on the buses, going on the bridge, over the river, into the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I mean, this place was bumping. It was insane. All the tailgating, it was crazy. I don't know. I'll never forget it. I'm like, man, you know what? I got to play well today because there's a lot of people here. This is a cool game, cool atmosphere, 50-50. It's a lot of points, and usually Kirby doesn't cover, you know, these 17 to 20 point deals, but
well, see, that's why it's interesting, because when it's under 17, like, that's the demarcation line. Like, under 17 is good, above 17, not so good. So 16.5, the carrot's being dangled right there for you.
Well, I'm going to take the bait here because I want the Dogs to cover here. And I think they will, man. I think they're building on a lot of things right now, coming out of a bye week, getting healthy. I'm expecting some explosiveness from the offense.
How about Trevor Etienne? You think he's going to be a little juiced up to play his former team? Of course, he 100%. Transferred to Georgia from Florida. The favorite has covered 7 of the last 8 meetings in this game. That's crazy to think. The last 10 meetings have all been decided by double digits. That's wild. Look, Kirby has been very complimentary about Florida in his week and a half of press availability. Of course, dogs off a bye week. DJ Lagway, hey, he looked really good coming in now as the guy with Graham Mertz being out for the season. Kirby said Florida's offensive and defensive line are very good. They always are. You know they're going to have skill players. Georgia, having just beat Texas, getting that bye week, kind of refocusing their entire season. The defense stepped up. Mykel Williams is healthy. Tate Ratledge is back on the offensive line, which I think is going to be huge, not only from a run game situation, but from an on-field leadership. Jake, just do one thing. Talk to me about those key offensive linemen, what they mean to everybody on the team, the quarterback, the run game, the pass game, in the huddle.
So, I mean, this is so true in the NFL, but you live and you die by how the guys up front play, and specifically the offensive line. Man, having those guys back late in the year when we've already mentioned there's a premium on physicality and being able to impose your will and run the football in crunch time situations when the opposing team knows you're going to run the football and you can go and you can do it anyway and just keep chopping that wood with a special back and Trevor Etienne. So, man, having those guys back, giving Carson a little bit extra time back there, because when he has time to operate, man, he is
– oh yeah.
He is top notch, man. He is so good delivering the football from the pocket. So it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. And it's going to be fun to watch.
It's a huge deal. Fairchild slides back over to left guard, I believe. So again, consistency on the offensive line, that's huge. Hope Ratledge is still healthy. He'll be good to go. I expect a big game from Trevor Etienne. I want Carson Beck just to settle into the game early. How do you do that? First 15 scripted plays, start running the ball, work the play action, get a couple screens in there. No need to press. The worst thing you can do in this game is press, turn the ball over early, let them get some life, have half the stadium really start getting into it, allow Florida to think they have a chance. You cannot do that. I guarantee you Florida wants to have a chance, and Florida's going to do everything they possibly can to keep this game close. DJ Lagway, I mean, he can get around. He's not exactly the most mobile quarterback, so I don't think the dogs will have to deal with that type of kryptonite as they had in the past with guys like Jalen Milrow. Under 17 points, I really like Georgia here. I expect the defense to put a lot of pressure on a young quarterback. I'm going to lay the 16.5 with Georgia as well. I'm really interested to see how they look coming off the bye week, Jake. Like, that is my big thing here. I want to see what they look like. After that big win at Texas, all the talk, everybody, defense is back. They look great. Let's see what happens, man. Jacksonville's different. So I'm going to lay the 16.5. Again, the dogs are now 2-5 against the spread. They got to start evening it out somehow during the season. So we'll just keep riding them at the moment. All right, how about this night game? 10th-ranked Texas A&M at South Carolina, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. A&M, a 2.5-point favorite. The total, 44.5. The Aggies, you want to talk about coming off a big win. Everybody loves Texas A&M now. Oh, yeah, they're the darling, man. Undefeated in the SEC. They can beat anybody. Marcel Reed looks great, blah, blah, blah. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on the whole blah, blah, blah thing right now. I want Texas A&M to be a good football team going into late November. However, I just going in and playing in South Carolina at night.
Tough.
It's going to be tough. And I'm just not sold on the whole quarterback situation with South Carolina's man, just monster of a defensive line. And they can just really wreak havoc there in the pocket. Now, I know they'll probably go with Marcel Reed and have the runner in there and zone read a lot of things. But to me, man, this is a young and inexperienced QB's worst nightmare, going and playing South Carolina at sure. night. It's loud. Man, give me the Gamecocks all day long. On
this man, one. You and I are simpatico this week. Here's the thing. A&M coming off that huge win. Everybody loves you, patting on the back.
Oh, yeah.
South Carolina's coming off a bye week. So they got the rest advantage. That's going to be important. This has not been a good series for the Gamecocks since the Aggies have entered into the SEC. South Carolina's just 1-9 straight up against A&M in the SEC. However, the Gamecocks have covered the last two matchups. I love Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kennard, the edge rushers for South Carolina. I think they'll be able either be able to play contain against Marcel Reed or get after him. And this stat blew my mind. underdogs in the SEC are 26-11 against the spread so far this season. That's the best mark across all Power Four conferences. So with that being said, home crowd night game off a bye week. Everybody loves A&M. I'll take the Gamecocks plus 2.5.
Yeah, and this is completely anecdotal, but just feels like Beamer always gets a signature win.
Yeah, he does.
Kind of so late in the year. He had the opportunity now at Alabama to do that, and they were so close, came up a little bit short. So, I really expect nothing less here.
Yeah, I totally agree. That'll be a fun one to watch for sure right after that Georgia-Florida game. All right, wrapping things up, 7:45 p.m. Eastern kick over on SEC Network. Kentucky at 7th-ranked Tennessee. Tennessee, a big 16.5-point favorite. The total here, 45.5, and the Kentucky Wildcats are reeling badly, Jake.
Yeah, just so many culmination factors here. Kentucky is just hurting. Tennessee is needing a breakout performance on offense. And I think Tennessee's completely underrated defense in front seven. They are just a top-notch unit here, man. And they are so dang good at suffocating the quarterback. It's going to be very tough for Brock Vandegrift, Kentucky's quarterback, to operate. It's at home, Rocky Top. It's going to be loud, man. And 17 points, a lot of points. I think they can do it because they're just so close to the tipping point. They're ready to burst on offense. And honestly, I just do not see Kentucky scoring many points on offense. And it's also basketball season.
It is basketball season. You're exactly right. And if you go back and watch the tape of Florida, who hung 48 on Kentucky, I mean, they were chucking the ball downfield. Lagway was getting some deep balls in there. Guys were running downfield pretty open. That's got to light up Josh Heupel's radar. I mean, can Josh Heupel just open up this offense for Nico Iamaliava? I watched them, and I've never seen so much a head coach's hesitancy in play calling be directly correlated to how his quarterback looks. Heupel being hesitant makes Nico look like a deer in headlights. It's so frustrating. I'm not even a Tennessee fan. I just watch it, and I'm like, this is crazy. Let the kid throw the ball. Like, that's what they have to do. Keep in mind, Dylan Sampson, the best running back in the SEC as well, Tennessee's running back. How about domination? Tennessee dominates the series, 28-10 against the spread since 1987. They've won 10 of the last 12. It's Tennessee. It's Tennessee.
It's obvious.
It's Tennessee big. It's basketball season in Lexington. I think we just went 5 for 5 on picks this week. Maybe the first time ever this year. That's either really good for you or really bad for me. So there you go, Jake Fromm. That is 3 dogs and 2 favorites that we took. So, Spencer, I'll send those over to you. Little pro tip. I picked those games as we're talking here. I got to see what my quarterback's thinking, feel him out, see what the, you know, just kind of read the room a little bit. And then I go from there. So week 10 going to be a good one, no doubt about it. Again, this episode of Punt and Pass presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Do yourself a favor, get on over to the Prize Picks app or prizepicks.com, and when you download it, use the promo code PUNT. You get $50 instantly. That's all you have to do. Use the promo code PUNT, play your first $5 entry, win or lose, you get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is the best and easiest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. All you have to do is pick more or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections. Watch the winnings roll in. Cross-sport entries, you can win up to 100x your money. Again, the Punt and Pass Prize Picks play of the week: Jeremiah Smith, Ohio State wide receiver, more than 70.5 receiving yards. Cam Ward, Miami quarterback, more than 2.5 passing touchdowns. Dylan Gabriel, Oregon quarterback, more than 1.5 passing touchdowns. That is it. Whew. Man, this is a good one. I like where we're at, man. And it's Halloween, so daddy's going to have a little cocktail. Daddy's going to go steal some candy when the girls go to sleep. You know, such is life. That's what we do.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at from Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my man?
No, man, I think we hit it. Election's coming up. If you're into that, go vote maybe. Good reminder. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, just throwing it out there, you know, just getting a little feeler, a little teaser out there. So
I like that.
That's right.
And go Lions. That's going to be a fun game to watch. Have you ever been to Green Bay? It's one stadium.
Funny thing, before I got picked up here three weeks before that, I had a tryout there at Green Bay. So, yeah, really, really cool. Got to see a little bit around. I mean, not a whole lot. So excited to go check out Lambeau, man. I've heard a lot of good things. And, yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, the only two stadiums I never went to were Green Bay and Arrowhead. So two classics, really? Never made it there.
Oh, Arrowhead's sick, man. Yeah. Arrowhead's a cool place.
Yep. All right, everybody. Well, hey, have a great Halloween. Enjoy the weekend. And we will talk to you on Monday. See you.
We out.